It is time for the Baseball Insider. Andy Carboni joining us here on MSONewsSports.com. And Andy, welcome.
Well, glad to be back once again, Bill, for another week of Red Sox review.
You got it. Hey, pitching duels, Andy. This is incredible the last couple of nights for the Sox against the Mets.
No doubt about it, Bill. I mean, we didn't expect really last night at all, or even the night before, Red Sox coming away with a 1-0 win yesterday at Citi Field as the four Sox pitchers combined on a shutout and a 1-0 win. Nick Pivetta goes five innings to improve to 3-0. Pivetta's only allowed two hits over his last two starts. And then on Tuesday night, the Red Sox beat the Mets by the score of 2-1. And in that game, Garrett Richards finally picked up a win, his first as a member of the Red Sox. He went seven innings, his longest outing of the year. Allowed just one run. He struck out 10. So definitely the arms were ready and raring to go in the series against the Mets. Matt Barnes in both games picked up saves. He now has six on the season. And the Red Sox are flying high in first place in the AL East with a record of 16-9. They're on a three-game winning streak. They're three games ahead of the Tampa Bay Rays. And now the Sox will head to Texas to open up a four-game series with the Rangers tonight.
All right, so the Red Sox are looking good. On to Texas. What else is ahead for them?
Well, after Texas, they do come home for a brief three-game series with the Tigers next week before heading back on the road against Baltimore. So, considering they're playing the Rangers and Tigers and Orioles, Red Sox should rack up some wins, you would think, over the next 10 days or so. But, you know, you have to play the games on the field, that's for sure. But definitely that 16-9 record could be improved quite a bit.
The always optimistic Andy Carboni. Not. Okay, Andy. I think there's a couple of notes for you to wrap up from last week, right?
Well, even going back with the starting pitching, I wanted to just note Eduardo Rodriguez. He's now gone at least five innings in 32 consecutive starts. That goes back to May 4th of 2019. Rodriguez will take the mound again against the Rangers over the weekend. Last Thursday, you talk about a situation where the Red Sox bats are a little on the quiet side. They did lose to the Mariners 7-3 in 10 innings, so the Red Sox didn't have the offense going, but it was a little bit of a record made in that game by the Mariners. They became the seventh team in history to score seven or more runs and have three or fewer hits in a game. Last time that happened was the A's back in 1994. That was definitely a frustrating night for the Red Sox last Thursday at Fenway. The pitching, you know, overall did all right until that 10th inning when the wheels kind of fell off, only giving up three hits in the game, but they still found a way to lose 7-3.
Well, I can't imagine. Here we are almost to May, and we're I'm basically, you know, you got to applaud the starting pitching. At least you got Rodriguez back now, and Richards, obviously, with a great performance this past week. It's amazing.
Yeah, and Eovaldi's been pitching well himself. The only starting pitcher that really hasn't had a gem yet, if you will, has been Martin Perez, who will pitch against his former teammates, the Rangers, starting tonight. So we'll see what happens.
So with these new COVID restrictions, will more and more fans be able to see the Sox in person at Fenway?
Yes, they will. Good news to report. If you're looking to head to Fenway, you know the increased capacity is going up to 25% on May the 10th. That means starting on that date, 9,982 fans can attend games at Fenway, so a few more tickets will be available out there. And those tickets are going to be hot items around the area if they keep winning as they are.
Hot items, but maybe not hot at the ballpark, right?
Certainly not. The average temperature at Fenway for the first 14 home games, 53 degrees with a brisk wind coming in from center field. Certainly not baseball weather, so still time to bundle up when going to Fenway. Maybe that'll change in the month of May, but we'll have to see. But I certainly did not miss going to any April games at Fenway with the weather conditions as they were.
You know, Andy, I know you're younger than I am, but, you know, the Red Sox, Fenway, they used to social distance at Fenway many years ago. It was called the 1966 season.
Yeah, well before my time, Bill, and, you know, those early 60s teams, definitely there was plenty of room to social distance. But, you know, a crowd of 9,982 that we could see on May 10th was considered a big crowd back in those days.
It was when I believe 65-66, Red Sox and Yankees were in eighth and ninth place, respectively, meaning the last and next to last place in the American League back then.
Yeah, battling it out for the basement.
You got it. All right. What's up on Nesson tonight, Andy?
Well, Nesson Plus this afternoon. The Red Sox Nesson has a new feature. It's called Red Sox on This Day as the season has gotten underway. This afternoon, the first pitch comes at 1 o'clock, and this is a game that many, many Red Sox fans will remember. It's a game from April 29th of 1986. Roger Clemens strikes out 20 as the Sox beat the Mariners 3-1 at Fenway.
I remember being at a meeting in Boston on that night, Andy, and driving home probably 10 o'clock or so, and driving by Storrow, you know, on Storrow Drive, listening to Ken Coleman as they were calling those strikeouts. It was a long time.
Great memory to have, and I could tell you what I was doing. I was listening to the same broadcast with Ken Coleman. I was in my room studying for a Spanish test at Linfield High School. So I remember that distinctly. Don't ask me why I remember exactly what I was studying for, but I don't think a lot of studying was going on that evening as I was listening to that game.
And I had by that point had forgotten my high school Spanish as I was driving by Fenway then. Okay, what do we have from around Major League Baseball?
Well, Diamondbacks pitcher Madison Bumgarner threw a seven-inning no-hitter in the second game of a doubleheader on Sunday, but that won't go into the record books as an official no-hitter. Of course, with these seven-inning doubleheaders, this could come up, and it has. But back in 1991, the rule was set down that no-hitters have to be nine innings, so you can argue this any way you want. It's still recorded as a shutout, a complete game, but it's not a no-hitter, so go figure.
Well, I guess that makes sense. Yeah, they have to have some integrity on that, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure Madison Bumgarner didn't go to bed that night thinking he actually threw a real no-hitter, so I don't think no love lost there on that one, but it's just kind of interesting where it does go in the record books, as I said, as a shutout and a complete game, but you don't get the no-hitter. So it's kind of, question that just a bit.
But, you know, the guy should be able to get the option to go play. Let's pitch two more. Can I pitch two more innings? You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. Let's extend the game. We got time. Let's go.
Yeah. Obviously, if it's a no-hitter, the game must be moving along. You know what I mean? I'm thinking.
Certainly not time or strength, that's for sure.
All right. Other MLB news?
Well, on Monday, Angels pitcher Shohei Ohtani became the first player since Babe Ruth to start a game on the mound and leading the league in home runs at the same time. That's kind of an interesting footnote. You think back to, geez, it hasn't happened since Babe Ruth, but makes sense. And Ohtani even hit a home run in that game.
Oh, my goodness.
So
wow.
He is definitely billing up as a two-way player. Obviously, his hitting is doing a lot more for him right now than his pitching end of it, but still fun to watch.
Well, an argument against the DH. What else, Andy?
Brewers pitcher Corbin Burnes has now not allowed a walk in his first five starts of the season, a span of 29 in the third innings. He has 49 strikeouts during those 29 in the third innings. So the record for strikeouts to start a season without issuing a walk is 51. So he could possibly pick that up in his next start. And Rockies general manager Jeff Breidich resigned after 7 years with the team. That happened back on Monday as well.
Mm-hmm.
Tuesday, Blue Jays first baseman Vladimir Guerrero did something that his father never did. Hit three home runs in a game, and that included a grand slam against the Nationals, so making Guerrero the youngest player at 22 years old to hit three home runs a game and include the grand slam.
Well, I remember, you hit three home runs in a game. That's a huge highlight. To have one of them a grand slam, oh, my gosh, that's great.
That's a career for some players, right, in one game.
Absolutely, yeah. Finally, I guess there's some other – the Major League Baseball, are they considering expansion again?
Yeah, it's being thrown out there. It could happen. Commissioner Rob Manfred said that there's going to be expansion. The fee to enter the league will be $2.2 billion. When Major League Baseball last expanded back in 1988, the Rays and Diamondbacks paid $130 million to join. But Manfred did say that before any expansion does take place, he wants to make sure the stadium situation in Oakland and Tampa are taken care of before considering expansion into other cities.
Well, it is.
It doesn't happen anytime soon, but it's just being floated out there.
I gotcha. If you're a major league owner, it's tempting to pick up that extra money. That's for sure. At any time.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
And deal with the rest later. All right. And what's the latest on the virus in baseball?
Well, Major League Baseball says at this point, 70% of players, coaches, and sports staff have been fully or partially vaccinated for COVID. COVID protocols will be relaxed by Major League Baseball once that number reaches 85%.
But yet the Nesson Telecasters still remain in studio, right, for all of their games.
They're still in studio, yes, but I did hear during Tuesday's broadcast that the upcoming homestand against the Tigers, that they will be back at Fenway.
I'll tell you, they've done a great job being in the studio. It's amazing how well they do.
You really wouldn't know that they're in the studio, no doubt about it. I mean, they won't be traveling. I don't think that's going to be happening anytime soon to the away games, but at least for the games at Fenway, they'll be back in the booth like the radio guys have been in the booth all along, and I know the radio guys do the games from Fenway when the games are on the road, but yeah, you would not know that the TV guys are in a studio doing those broadcasts when you watch the games. No doubt about it.
Yeah, everything old is new again. Ronald Reagan used to do the games from the studio what's the Iowa station, I believe it was. Yeah, the famous Iowa station, whatever. All right, okay. All right, Andy, always good talking with you, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Looking forward to it.
All right, there he is, MSO New Sports Baseball Insider, Andy Carboni on MSONewsSports.com.